to humor, but this is less a function of your ability to tell jokes and more of demographics. Focus on what you find funny to you personally, and don't be afraid to share that with the women you meet. If they laugh, then great. If they don't, then chances are it won't go anywhere anyway. At its core, human is the art of drawing connections between two seemingly unrelated ideas or objects. There are a number of ways to do this, but at its core, humor is a creative activity, and therefore will be greatly tied to your ability to uninhibitedly express yourself. Sometimes your jokes will fall flat, particularly when you're starting out. That's okay. Don't laugh at yourself. Don't make fun of yourself. Don't try to explain the joke. The worst thing you can do when you make a joke that nobody laughs at is to draw more attention to yourself. Just act like nothing happened and move on. In this section, I'll give a brief overview of the types of humor: misdirection, exaggeration, sarcasm, wordplay, and role-playing. Misdirection. One of the most common and easiest forms of humor is misdirection. Misdirection occurs when you begin to say something or tell a story which leads the listener to believe you're making one point, and then out of nowhere you say something completely different. For instance, here's a famous line by Steve Martin. "You know that look that women get when they want to have sex?" "Yeah, me neither." The line sets you up to believe that he's going to tell you a story about the time a woman gave him the look like she wanted to have sex with him, but he misdirects you and ends up making a joke about his own sexual experience. Here's another one from Jimmy Fallon. "There's a new book out called Why Women Have Sex that says there are 237 reasons why women have sex. And folks, David Letterman knows the top 10. Again, he sets up the joke by telling you about a new book out that relates to why women have sex. But then he takes the idea of there being 237 reasons why women have sex and relating it to David Letterman's famous top 10 segments on his show and the fact that David Letterman sleeps with his interns. It's the connection of these two seemingly unrelated topics that makes it funny. Exaggeration. Exaggeration is another mainstay of humor and something that everyone should be able to use. Exaggeration is when you take a quality about something and blow it completely out of proportion, often in a creative or interesting way. For instance, "She's a nice woman, though. Nicest 3 acres of flesh I've ever met." Obviously, no woman actually has 3 acres worth of flesh, but the exaggeration of her being fat is what causes this line to be funny. There's also a subtle misdirection in the line, going from "she's nice" to "she's fat." Typically, the more creative and extreme you are in describing your exaggeration, the funnier it'll be. For instance, notice the difference in how funny the following two lines are: "She was as ugly as a dog," versus "I've seen more attractive things in the bottom of an airport urinal." Notice the second one is far more extreme and creative. The completely unrelated ideas of an airport urinal and a girl's face is what creates the greater degree of humor. In humor, the more specific and odd the details, typically the more funny a joke is. Teasing and sarcasm. Whereas misdirection and exaggeration are funny to just about anybody, you run into a minority of women who don't find teasing or sarcasm funny. Teasing and sarcasm can also vary in degrees of appropriateness, especially depending on where you are. If you're at a funeral, it's probably not a good idea to make sarcastic comments about the deceased family. Teasing is when you make humorous comments that are derogatory about somebody. Generally, teasing is done in good humor with good intentions. Teasing with bad intentions becomes insulting and is not welcomed by most people. Teasing is supposed to be fun. The ideal tease will create a mixture of emotions in a girl: defensiveness, yet happiness. The ideal reaction is when a girl will say, "Oh my god, I can't believe you just said that," but will be laughing at the same time and smiling. Here are a couple examples of teases. To a girl wearing bright red shoes: "Are you going to click your heels and go home later?" To a girl sitting by herself in the corner looking bored: "So who put you in timeout?" To a girl waving a dollar bill at a bartender to get his attention: "Is that how you always get men to pay attention to you?" Be careful with teases, especially to women you don't know. I said the last one to a woman I didn't know and got slapped. Then again, I still slept with her, but when you tease frequently and freely, be prepared for a wide range of emotional responses. Teasing polarizes, often hard and quickly. Therefore, it's a good tactic, but not always exactly pleasant. Sometimes girls will genuinely be offended or sensitive to teasing and not react well. I'd say maybe 1/3 out of women I meet do not react well to teasing or good-natured ribbing. Make a point to spot these women and let the teasing go. Generally, women who don't enjoy being teased really appreciate genuine compliments, so I'll switch it up. Sarcasm is an even darker form of humor than teasing. Sarcasm works well on even fewer women, but the women who appreciate it really appreciate it. Chances are a lot of you reading this don't have a very sarcastic sense of humor. That's fine. You can just live a sexless and lonely life forever. That was sarcasm, in case you missed it. Seriously, sarcasm isn't for everybody. Sarcasm is when you make an extreme statement that's completely opposite of what you actually mean. You often say it with complete seriousness and without smiling. A lot of women don't get sarcastic humor. They'll think you're being serious, or they'll get very confused. Others don't enjoy it very much. But I will say, in my experience, when a woman loves sarcasm, she really loves sarcasm. Years ago, I was out with a girl at a bar. We had been flirting all night, and she had a very sarcastic sense of humor. At one point, she looked at my drink and said, "You drink slow. I already finished my drink." I replied with a totally straight face, "Not all of us hate ourselves as much as you do." She erupted with laughter for a good 30 seconds, while simultaneously saying, "Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that to me." Needless to say, it was on from there and we went home together. The role of swearing. Swearing in dirty language has an interesting role in humor. Many types of humor, such as sarcasm and exaggeration, require a certain level of edginess to pack a powerful punch. Using dirty language or swear words is kind of a cheap and easy way to make whatever you say more extreme. For instance, adding the word fucking into just about any humorous statement will make it pack a little more punch. At the same time, using swear words is kind of a shortcut, and if you use them too often, they'll get old quickly and sound try-hard. Dropping a well-timed F-bomb can make a funny joke even funnier. But dropping an F-bomb into everything you say just makes you look unsophisticated. Generally, the older you are, the more I recommend avoiding dirty language. Use it sparingly and only use it when you have a specific reason to. The more you use it, the more attention-seeking and negative you will make yourself appear, both of which are unattractive traits. Wordplay and puns. Wordplay is similar to misdirection in that the listener expects one type of meaning and gets another. But wordplay practices misdirection by using words that have various meanings. A few examples. "Hurry, a passenger is ill. We need to go to a hospital." "What is it?" "It's a building with a lot of doctors, but we don't have time for that right now." Or, "Surely you can't be serious." "I am serious, and please don't call me Shirley." I would say that puns and wordplay are even a rarer form of appreciated humor than sarcasm. Puns and wordplay also tend to be very intellectual. You'll find few women who appreciate them, and chances are even fewer of you reading this will like to say them. But again, when you do find a woman who appreciates them, in my experience, she really appreciates them. Role-playing and games. Games and role-playing are quick and easy ways to inject fun into any interaction with a woman. They're playful, and they open up plenty of opportunities for other types of humor when you use them. Games can be anything from basic physical games, hand slaps, thumb wars, etc., to word games, the five questions game, fuck, marry, kill, etc. For instance, fuck, marry, kill is easy. You point to three random people in the room, and you say, "Okay, out of those three people, who would you fuck, who would you marry, and who would you kill, and why?" This game will lead to quite a bit of interesting conversation based on people watching. Role-playing can be just as energizing and fun. Role-playing basically involves giving the woman you're talking to a fake role and then playing around with that role together. Some of my favorite role-playing involves marriage and divorce role-playing. For instance, when I first meet a girl, let's say within 30 seconds she says something I don't like. I'll say, "That's it, we're divorced." It's funny because I just met her, but you can actually milk a lot of fun out of something simple like this. For instance, "You keep the kids, I'm moving to Europe." Or, "By the way, your music sucks and I never liked your casseroles either." If you find yourself having a lot of trouble with humor, I recommend watching a lot of stand-up comedians. Some of my favorites are Louis C.K., George Carlin, Bill Maher, Bill Hicks, and Chris Rock. Pay attention to their delivery, their timing, their facial expressions. These things can't be taught in book, so pay attention to them. Pick a few of your favorite comics and watch their stand-up routines multiple times to get a real sense of how they tell a story and how they nail a punchline. Also, beware of falling into the trap of self-deprecating humor. A lot of men, particularly needy men who are highly invested in other people's reactions around them, will make fun of themselves and put themselves down in order to get a laugh. Although this may make women laugh, it's needy behavior and lacks self-respect. Therefore, it's ultimately unattractive. Guys with a good sense of humor who habitually use it on themselves, I recommend turning those same jokes and thoughts onto the woman you're talking to. Instead of making fun of yourself, make fun of the girl you're talking to. It may be uncomfortable at first, but you'll be surprised at how it will blow your interactions wide open and infuse more sexuality and playfulness into them. Humor is not a cure-all for your problems with attracting and seducing women. If there is a cure-all, it'll be physicality, which is chapter 15. Some naturally funny men overly rely on their ability to make a girl laugh and actually overdo it. Instead of being attractive and strong men, they become entertainers, constantly seeking attention and validation. The worst part about this habit is that it all happens while making the woman laugh and making her enjoy your company. So a lot of men get confused and actually think that they're seducing her. She's smiling, she's laughing, she likes me, I must be seducing her, right? Sadly, no. Humor is only useful if used in conjunction with leading her in a dominant manner and pushing things physically with her. Ultimately, you aren't ever really attracting a woman unless you're connecting with her physically and emotionally. And although humor is a very useful tool to help you do that, it doesn't actually do it for you. Chapter 14, The Dating Process. Quote, I don't have a girlfriend. I just know a lady who would get really angry if she heard me say that. Mitch Hedberg. Like it or not, the dating process follows a somewhat rigid process. You meet girl, ask girl on date, correspond with girl, set up date with girl, correspond with girl, set up second date with girl, repeat until eventually you bring girl home with you, and at some point you decide if you're exclusive, non-exclusive, a casual couple, fuck buddies, soulmates, or never want to see each other again. There are exceptions to this process, and the process may be sped up to a degree, but more or less there's a courtship process that we all must follow. Our culture has kind of defined a procedure for these things, and any man who wishes to be successful in dating and seducing women needs to be aware of the procedure, as well as knowing when he can or can't cut some corners. The process almost always involves the following: trading contact details along with following up, dates, either bringing her home or going home with her, having sex, and then figuring out what kind of relationship, if any, will result afterwards. In certain instances, the contact details and date can be foregone and you can bring her home or go home with her the day or night you meet her. But these cases are rare, usually involve meeting a woman in a party or nightclub situation, and we won't go into a whole lot of depth about it right now. Subsection, phone numbers. There's a minor obsession in dating advice and pickup theory about phone numbers, correspondence, and so-called text game or flake prevention. Flaking is a term used to describe a woman who gives you her phone number, says she wants to see you again, and then never responds or returns your call, or never shows up on a date. Flakes can simply be women who never respond to you, or women who respond but keep sidestepping meeting up with you. Obsessing about flakes and how to win them over is an easy trap to fall into, but in my opinion, this is treating the symptom, not the illness. The way to prevent flakes is to meet and attract a woman enough so that she'll never want to flake on you. Problem solved. In my experience, 99% of the so-called flake prevention strategies guys implement, calling at certain times, baiting with open-ended texts, pretending to send a text to the wrong person, these will rarely convince a girl who's never attracted to you to suddenly become attracted to you. And even if by some chance they do convince her to meet up with you, you're now on a date with a woman who has no genuine interest in being there with you. Similarly, men spend way too much time obsessing over unimportant details like how many times to text each day, how soon to call her, when to ask her out, etc. Setting rigid rules such as wait 3 days to ask her out or never text her twice in a row greatly limits you and will hinder the unique connection that you spent time developing with the woman. And by the way, it's that connection that's going to get her to come out and see you again, not the clever text you spent 45 minutes coming up with. But with that said, here are my versions of the quote-unquote rules to calling and texting women. Only ask a woman for her phone number if she seems genuinely attracted or interested in you. Only ask for a number if you can see yourself wanting to hang out with her again or having time to hang out with her again. If you meet a girl who's in town for a bachelorette party for 3 days, is drunk, and you have a serious meeting at work in 2 days, don't bother. If you're concerned that you don't know how to tell if she's attracted to you or not, there's a section later in this chapter that covers signals women give to you. When you ask her for her phone number, don't come up with a fancy line or make up a reason. Just ask for it. If you're attracted to her, you shouldn't be afraid to hide it. You're a non-needy, dominant male, remember? If she's attracted to you, she'll be more than excited to give it to you. Most women will always give you their number if you ask. Even if they don't like you or have no intention of ever seeing you again, they'll give it to you. It's simply far easier for them to ignore your calls than reject every guy that they meet to their face. Flakes happen to everybody. Get used to it. There's simply too many things going on in most attractive women's lives to figure out why each one flakes. It could be because her ex-boyfriend started calling her again. It could be because she met her soulmate the day after she met you. It could be because she got in a freak accident and is in the hospital. It could be because she got sick and was bedridden. Sometimes women just don't feel like dating for a while. Sometimes they don't remember you because they were drunk when they met you. Sometimes they lose their phone. Sometimes they change their mind the next day. Sometimes they just don't care. There are a million legitimate reasons women can flake other than them not being attracted to you. Trying to figure out which ones are flaking for legitimate reasons and which ones are not is more or less an impossible task. You're better off just letting it go and moving on. In the end, it comes down to the fact that if she likes you enough, she'll find a way to make it happen. If she's not finding a way to make it happen, then she probably doesn't like you as much as you thought she did. Think of it this way. If Brad Pitt texted her asking her out, do you think that she could suddenly clear her busy work schedule and move her weekend plans back? I think so. If she's not doing that for you, then she's just not that interested. Sorry, Charlie. My policy with flakes is 3 strikes, you're out. If a woman flakes once, I'll try her a second time. If she doesn't respond the second time, I may or may not give it a third shot. But typically, if I do, I don't put much effort into the third attempt. Often, I will only try a woman once or twice. If there's still nothing after the third attempt, I move on. A lot of women will give you excuses why they can't meet up, cancel dates, push dates back, or simply stop responding. Sometimes they have legitimate reasons. Sometimes they're making excuses. This is why at the first reason they give, I always give them the benefit of the doubt and try again. The second time, if I'm particularly interested in them and or I think they genuinely had 2 legitimate excuses, I will try them one more time. Often I'll even tell them, okay, this is your last chance though. After the third time though, I just let them go. It's not worth my time or effort at that point. I always text within 24 hours of getting her number. I send a simple text. Hey Sarah, it was nice meeting you. That's it. Most girls who are interested in you will respond somewhat quickly. The ones who do not respond to this will usually flake on you. From there, I usually wait another day or so and start a text conversation. I like to reference a conversation we had when we met in this text and try to keep some sort of continuity. The goal here is nothing special, just trying to get a little bit of back and forth going. It's been over 24 hours and I'm seeing how warm the lead still is. Typically, if I can get a text conversation going here, then she's pretty likely to go on a date with me. If her responses are few and far between, then she's likely a flake. Don't get fancy and try to reinvent the wheel here. Don't get cute and try to win her over if she's not responding very much. Your legwork was put in when you met her. Now you're stuck with what you earned. I've found that the cuter and harder you try to win girls over by text, the bigger chance you have of looking needy and desperate and losing them. Joke and tease her if she's being responsive. If not, stick to trying to get her out as soon as possible. Depending on how the text conversation goes, I'll either ask her out right then and there, or I'll wait another day or two depending on my schedule. It used to be expected that you call women, but texting has quickly overtaken phone calls. Back in 2005, when I started this stuff, I called every number I got. Now I almost never call a girl unless she specifically asks that I call her. I would say in the last year, over 90% of my dates have been set up through texting. I have to say this again. Don't get fancy or cute in your texts. Texting is, in general, an awful medium of communication. Often if you try to get too sarcastic or witty in your text, it can be easily misinterpreted or come off with a completely different intention than you originally had. And remember, everything comes back to intention. So clear, blunt language. I tell guys that I only use texting to organize when she and I are going to see each other next. Literally, that's what 90% of my texts consist of. Things like, hey, what are you doing Thursday night? Or, I'm busy this weekend, but I want to see you again. My text conversations are boring. Just to give you an example of a typical text conversation, I posted below a transcript of texting I did with the last girl I went on a date with. Some background first. This was a girl I met in a nightclub at about 1 a.m. and spent no more than 60 to 90 minutes with her. There was light kissing, but mostly just talking and dancing. No drinking, and this is actually a big factor. And before she went home, I mentioned that I'd like to see her the next day. She said, sure. Me. Hey, Marina, it was nice meeting you tonight. Her. You too. Smiley face. Me. Next day. Hey, you said you worked till 4 p.m., right? Her. Yes. Do you still want to meet? Me. Yeah. How about 7:30? Her. Can we do 8? Me. Sure. In the city center? Her. Yes, in front of X restaurant. Do you know where it is? Me. Yes, I'll see you there. Her. See you soon. Smiley face. That's it. I'd say 75% of my text correspondence looks like that. But just to show you the other extreme, here's a more unusual text transcript that I had with a girl in England a few months ago. This is about as gamey as I ever get. Me. Hey, Natalie. It was nice meeting you tonight. Her. Hey, I have your phone number now. Smiley face. Me. Good. Talk to you soon. Me. Next day. Hey, Natalie. How was the rest of your night? Her. Great. We were tired, and we went back a bit early, though. Me. Good. Are you free tomorrow evening? Let's meet up for a drink. Her. Okay. When did you have in mind? Me. How about 8 o'clock at X? Do you know it? Her. Yes, I do. 8 it is. I'll text you tomorrow. Good night. Me. Good night. Her. Next day. Hey, I'm overloaded at work and may not be able to meet you tonight. Sorry. I hope you enjoy England. Me. Come on, Natalie. When you're old and gray, are you going to wish you worked more or wish that you went on more dates with American boys? Her. Haha. Very true. Let me see what I can do. Her. A little later. Okay, I finished early. I can meet you. Smiley face. Notice how the only bit of game I threw at her was when she showed hesitance to meet up. The only reason I did this is because I knew I was going to lose her if I didn't amp things up, show my desire for her again, and polarize things a bit to prevent the flake. I did that, and it worked. Or did it? Natalie never showed up. She called me at about 7:40 p.m. and explained to me that although she really liked me a lot, that because I was leaving England in a few days, she couldn't justify coming on a date with me. It was clear that she felt bad about it, but her values were clear. I respected that decision and told her that that's fine and that she's a beautiful girl and she deserves a great guy who will stick around. And I meant it. And unfortunately, this has consistently been my experience. A flake is a flake, no matter what you text. Even if you can create a temporary illusion that she wants to meet up with you. When it comes down to her spending the time to get ready, come out, and meet you, there has to be that initial attraction and connection from when you met. I've tried every kind of text game and line in the book, and ultimately it always comes back to this. How well did you game her when you met her? Because things always revert back to that level. If anything, being cute and trying to impress will only hurt you, as it will come across as needy and unattractive. One of the quickest ways to lose a girl is by texting her stuff that's way too tryhard. When in doubt, be plain and to the point. This often disappoints some guys. They get really excited about sending fancy or brilliant texts that magically change a girl's mind on a dime. Don't bother. Short of lying or manipulation, it almost never works. You're not going to be texting Shakespearean sonnets to her. Get her to agree to meet up as soon as possible and then do all the heavy lifting in person. Where you can actually interact physically, where she can see your intentions and your non-neediness, and where you're not limited to 120 characters at a time or whatever. When it comes time to meet for the date, don't make a big deal out of whether she's late or not. Most women are late. She's not testing you. She's probably just a disorganized woman who got nervous and spent an extra 20 minutes from the mirror for you. Traffic happens a lot, and some girls are terrible drivers and get lost. I usually give women 10 or 20 minutes leeway, and then if I haven't heard from them by then with an explanation of why they're late or when they're coming, then I go. If she's apologetic about it, then follow the 3-strikes-you're-out rule. If she's not, then I drop her. That's it. No, really, that's it. Subsection, the perfect date. Despite how nervous you get before them, dates are perhaps the most straightforward part of this entire process. Go to the right venues, go at the right times, avoid the obvious pitfalls, and you should be in the clear. The guidelines in this step are very straightforward, so listen up. When to go on dates. Don't do lunch dates, and never make an afternoon date the first date if possible. Just don't do it. For whatever reason, nothing says, let's just be friends, more than having lunch together. Save dates for the nighttime. It builds a greater sense of expectation. There's more flexibility to spend more time together. It's more of a commitment, and it leaves the option open for you and her sleeping over. So the next issue is, which night should you go on the date? Not all nights are made the same. For instance, most attractive women are always busy on weekends and have other plans, so getting her out on a Friday is a big commitment and less likely. On the other hand, a Monday night is more likely going to have her needing to get up early the next morning or being stressed out. So if things go well, you're more likely to have things cut short. As a guideline, asking a woman out on each day of the week from best to worst goes as follows. Thursday, Wednesday, Sunday, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, Saturday. As far as when to go, it's going to depend a lot on what you're doing, but you want to allow yourself time for at least three different one-hour activities, which I'll get to in a second. So anywhere from between 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Later than that, and you limit your time together. Earlier than that, and you get a daytime vibe, and the date will usually run out of steam before she has to go home. You want to time the date so that you are peaking together at around 10 or 11 p.m. and she has the, I need to go home, but I don't want to yet feeling. Where to go? Absolutely no movie dates. Movie dates are terrible. You don't get to talk, and you sit awkwardly next to each other, and it's impossible to touch her without being awkward. The importance of this will be delved into in the next chapter. Avoid dinner dates if at all possible. They're cliche. They're impersonal. Once again, it's almost impossible to touch sexually. And believe it or not, a lot of women are self-conscious about eating in front of you, food selection, etc. Also, you can avoid the awkward who pays situation, which we'll talk about in the next section. Date locations are locations that are active, participatory, and allow for touching and flirting. Alcohol is usually helpful as well. Some good examples include comedy clubs, dance classes, museum exhibits, walking in interesting places, plazas, parks, etc., concerts, and so on. A lot of places to go will depend on your town. I recommend using Yelp.com to find interesting places around you. For instance, there used to be a bowling alley / nightclub venue near my old apartment in Boston. It was a lot of fun. You could bowl together, which is participatory, active, helps flirting, as well as have waitresses bring you drinks. Bars and nightclubs are fine if you were both into those kinds of venues. Just make sure that if you go, you end up there alone. A date with friends is not a date. This will often happen if she should suggest a bar to go to. Oh, we can meet my friend Cindy there. Chances are, if she wants to hang out with her friend while with you, then it's no longer a date. Finally, you need to find venues and activities that are close to your place or her place. What I recommend doing is researching and finding at least 4 to 6 good date venues or activities that are within a short drive of your house or apartment. Even better is if you can find a few places that are within walking distance. On top of that, you'll want to know of good and popular places to go all over town to account for women who may live far from you. There will be times where logistics will dictate that you'll have to drive out to see her rather than the other way around. This is fine, but you'll still often be expected to come up with ideas on where to go or what to do, so there's no excuse for not being prepared. The logic is simple. The closer the venues are to your place or hers, the easier it will be to end up at your place or hers at the end of the night. You need at least 4 to 6 venues or activities near you to account for both for the various personalities of women you're going out with, but also because you will want to construct dates that will go to more than one venue. More on that in the next section. Once you've researched and found 4 to 6 venues and activities near your place that you enjoy doing, that are good date activities and are easily accessible, it's time to start putting them together. The ideal amount of places activities per date is 3. This may sound weird to you, but this is key. Most men do dinner, drinks, and then sit at a table for another hour chatting away. On our dates, we're doing things, and we're doing lots of things. We're going bowling, having drinks, dancing, checking out statues in the park, and carriage riding, all in 3 hours. There's something strange in human psychology. Our level of intimacy with one another doesn't come from how much we talk about it as much as it comes from the experiences we share together. These dates are designed to create as much mutual experience as possible in the least amount of time possible. Here are some examples of solid dates. Meet for coffee, then go get ice cream down the street, then check out the big swing in the park by the house. Another one, salsa class, then go get drinks next door afterwards, then go back to your apartment next door to show her YouTube videos. Another example, interactive improv comedy show, then walk through the local park nearby, then go dancing in a lounge which is near her place. Include dancing if at all possible, as it's the most sexual date activity that you can do. Also, if you decide to drink, try to drink at the second or last venues or activities. Basically, you want the sexual tension to peak right as it's time to go home. How to act on a date. As I mentioned before, you want your dates to be interactive. You want to be able to walk around, be able to touch, and be as interactive as possible. The underlying concept to have on a date is that you need to constantly be leading. Every decision should be yours, and she should be expected to follow it. Remove "what do you want to do now" from your dating vocabulary. Never say it again. It should be like this. "Hey, let's grab some tacos. I know a cool stand over here." Or, "Hey, I have an idea. I'm going to kick your ass in air hockey." Or, "Let's check out the science museum. They have an awesome exhibit on the human body." As far as what to talk about, your conversation should be getting deeper and more personal. There should be less teasing and playful banter and more conversations about your lives and what's important to you. Learn about her past, her passions, her dreams, and what her favorite things are. At the same time, you don't want to turn this into a job interview, which many dinner dates turn into, but elicit these topics by sharing them yourself. Again, this is the time to practice the concepts you learned about in the last chapter, and this is where they should come into fruition. If you do everything well and right, you should be kissing her by the second half of the first date, and possibly even take her home and have sex on many of your first dates. Finally, the big question in our post-feminist world is, who pays? This question plagued me for a while. I used to be of the mind that I should never have to pay for women, but I actually lost a few that way. Sure, I think it's ridiculous, and I prefer a woman who is fine taking care of herself, but after dating a lot of these women, I realized that there's an intrinsic sense of chivalry that they enjoy and makes them feel feminine and sexy. After all, the primary attractor in women is status and security. Taking care of them and paying for them can often lend itself to that. So why not try? The caveat is that most women will offer to pay out of politeness, but you're supposed to turn them down because it's a genuine thing to do, or something like that. Look, I didn't make this stuff up, but after being on probably 100 plus dates with dozens of women, this is what works for me. Pay unless she physically pulls out her wallet or credit card and stops you. Until she physically does that, just pay. Yes, once in a while you can get women buying you drinks and stuff like that. There are even ways to influence them to do this. But at the end of the day, unless you're broke, take care of them. It's a no-lose move and it will win you points with many of them. Subsection. Signals women give. The final section of this chapter covers how to interpret signals of attraction that women give you. Men are notoriously bad at recognizing signals women give them when they're interested. In the courtship process, it's always the man's responsibility to take action and to make the moves. And it's the woman's responsibility to give him signals. The evolutionary reasons were explained in chapters 1 and 2. This section will merely be a list of things to keep a lookout for. Review it and make a point to note these when they happen when you're out meeting women. Ideally, the better you get at conversing and meeting them, the more signals you'll receive. Pre-approach signals. Non-accidental eye contact. When in doubt, assume it's not accidental. Humans are programmed to look and focus on whatever they're either curious about or whatever they find attractive. If she's looking at you even 10% more than the average stranger, then she's at least somewhat curious or interested in you. I make a point to approach every woman who makes non-accidental eye contact with me, and it serves me well. Smiling. If eye contact means she's interested, then smiling means you better come talk to me right now. She approaches you. This goes without saying, although a lot of guys are so oblivious they even miss this. But when a woman approaches you, even if it's to ask the time, ask about the weather, ask for directions, or whatever, chances are she has some interest in talking to you. Proximity. This one is subtle, but the more you work on your lifestyle, body language, and style, the more of these you'll get. It's when a woman places herself near you when she doesn't need to. For instance, let's say you're sitting on a bus and an attractive woman gets on. The entire bus is empty, yet she comes over and sits across from you. That may mean that she wants you to talk to her. Some other examples are when a woman comes and stands near you in a store or shop looking at nothing in particular for a long amount of time. conversation signals, excessive smiling and laughing. This is subjective and will require some judgment, but sometimes you'll notice one girl smiling and laughing a lot more than others when you speak. Chances are she likes you. Flipping or playing with her hair. It's a classic signal of flirtation. Eyes dilate. Studies have shown that our eyes dilate when we look at something we're attracted to. Hard to notice, especially in some nighttime scenarios, but this gives our eyes a much bigger and wider look than normal. Standing closer to you than normal. Self-explanatory. Pay attention to where she positions herself. Excessive eye contact. Same as excessive smiling. If she's locked onto your gaze during a conversation, that means she's very interested in what you have to say. Most people break eye contact very often, especially with people they just met. If she doesn't, that means she's interested. She prioritizes you. This is another subjective one. This can be very subtle, but it's when her actions subtly show that she prioritizes you over interacting with others. The classic example here is if you meet a girl at a bar and her friends come over and try to talk to her, and she ignores her friends. Most women, if they don't like you, will drop you like a hot potato when their friends come around. But if she ignores her friends and stays with you instead of walking off with them, then that's a clear indication that she likes to be around you. Escalation signals. Isolates herself with you. Oftentimes, the most overt advances a woman will make won't actually be in making a move, because that's your job, but they'll actively work to put you in the easiest situation possible. Let's say I've been hanging out with a girl for most of the night, and suddenly she says, "Let's step outside for some fresh air. This bar is noisy." She's purposely isolating herself with me as much as possible. This typically means that she's ready to be kissed. She ditches her friends for you. This goes along with the one above. It takes a lot for a woman to leave her friends behind for a guy, especially one that she's only known for a few hours or for one night. If she does this, take it as a big green light. She touches you, unprompted. Whether it's unprovoked or her reciprocating you touching her, this is a clear signal that she likes you and wants you to continue escalating with her physically. Chapter 15. Physicality and Sex. Quote, "My girlfriend always laughs during sex, no matter what she's reading." Emo Phillips, comedian. I'm going to say this point blank. Getting physical with women, and getting physical quickly and comfortably, is ultimately what will determine how much success you have with women in the long run, more than anything else. Being physical with women is by far the most integral piece of seduction in dating women. If you have it, you will constantly have options. If you don't, you will spend a lot of time alone. I have a friend. He's a decent-looking guy. He almost never approaches, except for when he's drunk. He's awkward to talk to. He's a strange sense of humor, but he gets physical with women. He touches them early, he touches them often, and even if they don't reciprocate or move away, he tries again. He's always going for it. And you know what? He gets laid. Constantly. Hot women, too. It's amazing. I used to hang out with him and would watch him awkwardly stumble around conversations, drinking too much, and awkwardly putting his arm around girls as the girls sat there with a look of confusion. I'd watch him and think to myself, "Oh man, what a disaster." And then I'd come back 20 minutes later, and he'd be making out with her. And then an hour later, he'd be going home with her. He just has no inhibitions whatsoever about going for it. He's always going for it. And until a girl clearly and firmly tells him no, he doesn't stop. Ever. And like I said, he gets girls all the time. The biggest trigger for arousal in women is to be desired. And nothing says that she's desired like a guy trying to kiss her. Being physical on women is a necessary habit that most guys who are poor with women never do. Most men are a bit shy and hesitant when it comes to making moves, touching, the first kiss, sexual touching, etc. Well, that needs to stop. From now on, you are a sexually aggressive and dominant guy and you have no shame. We'll also discover that women actually prefer you to be this way. There are two reasons for being physically aggressive. The first is that you want to make her comfortable with being touched by you as soon as possible. You want to set a precedent for the relationship that you are a physical person and that you're comfortable with your body and hers. The other reason is psychological. People who touch when they interact with another person are generally viewed as more dominant. All politicians and businessmen will touch somebody on the arm as they greet them and shake their hand. Oftentimes, they'll even touch them with both hands. Studies have shown that people being touched by somebody when they first meet them not only have a much higher probability of thinking favorably of them, but they're also shown to trust them quicker. So how do you touch a girl right off the bat? When you go up to start a conversation with her, just lightly touch her on the arm, near the elbow. Don't press hard or hold it, as that could startle her, but just a small tap. Once you're engaged in conversation with her, you want to use touching to punctuate the conversation. Think of touching as an exclamation mark or question mark of the dialogue. For instance, let's say you make a clever joke and she begins to laugh very hard. You should put your hand on her arm to punctuate the emotion of the moment. The best way to touch is to integrate physicality into your conversation. For example, using games such as Thumb Wars, twirling her like a ballerina, or giving high fives are great ways to initiate physical contact. As the conversation goes on, the better things are going. The more you want to be touching and the more personal your touches want to be. For instance, when I first meet a girl, I may just touch her on the arm, but 20 minutes later, if she's attracted to me and we're having a deep conversation, I'll have my arm around her and her leaning into me. If you're both sitting down, touching your leg to hers or resting your hand on her thigh are good ways to create more personal ways to touch her. Your touching should happen in a progression. In general, you want to start on the outside of the body, her arms and legs, and slowly move closer into the body. Put your hand on her back as you move her to sit down with you. Put your arm around her lower back as she leans against you at the bar. Later on, this progression will continue into intimacy, tickling, massages, cuddling, spooning, and then from there it will continue into kissing, petting, and having sex. Push and pull is a physical flirting technique that is instrumental in creating intimacy. It's basically touching combined with teasing. Remember, in flirting, you go through the pattern of showing disinterest, breaking rapport, and then letting her regain your interest by qualifying yourself. Push and pull is merely translating that into a physical form. Here are some examples. You take her hand and twirl her around like a ballerina. She does it kind of awkwardly. You let go of her hand and say, "Next," and pretend to walk off with a smile. More often than not, she'll grab you and make you come back. Then you say, "Okay, we'll give it one more try." You do it again and say, "Not bad," and then hug her. 2. You're on a date, taking a walk through the local gardens. She says something really cute, so you say, "That's too cute, I can't handle it," and lightly shove her away from you. See if she comes back towards you. If you push and pull well, you'll increasingly find yourself in more intimate and emotional situations with her. You can take any of the examples above and transition straight into tickling her, where you can end up on top of her or in a perfect position to kiss her. The purpose of push and pull isn't an end to itself, it's a means to give you opportunities to kiss her. One of the most common questions guys always have is, "How do I know when to kiss her?" If you learn to push and pull well, you'll find yourself in situation after situation where it feels right. You'll both be close, touching, and emotionally charged. Opportunities should come up over and over again. Then it's just a matter of grabbing yourself by the balls and planting it on her. Kissing. When it comes to kissing a woman, there's an old adage among dating coaches. If you think you can kiss her, you probably could have 10 minutes ago. We men are notoriously bad at gauging a woman when a woman is ready to be kissed and then actually having the gusto to go for it. So in general, it's safe to assume that any time you think you could kiss her, you already could have. Too many guys get hung up on looking for sign after sign when girls have been giving them signals all night. Think of it this way. It's much better to try and kiss her and get rejected than to go the whole night without making a move and never knowing what could have been. So the rule of thumb is to always go for it. Quick note. There are some girls who don't kiss in public places. They feel like it's in bad taste or poor form. No matter how much they like you, they won't do it. If it's the first time you're trying to kiss her and she seems to want to do it but won't, try again in a more private setting. The same goes for in front of all of her girlfriends. If she's standing right next to four of her closest friends, she's probably not going to feel comfortable making out with you. Try moving her somewhere more quiet. Also, keep the first kiss PG-13. We want church tongue, not porno tongue, on the first time. If you start devouring her tonsils on the first date, she's going to start thinking that you're a sex-crazed fiend. If you aren't sure whether you're a good kisser or not, a good guideline is that if at least a few girls haven't complimented you on your kissing before, then you're not good enough. If you haven't kissed girls enough to know if they'd compliment you, then you're definitely not good enough. There are books out there that give guys techniques and form, but I'll just list a few of the don'ts. Don't slobber all over her face. Don't jam your tongue down her throat. Heavy tongue has its place, but it's usually in the bedroom when you guys are both naked. Don't peck her like she's your grandmother. Don't shove your face in theirs or apply too much pressure. Kisses are sensual. Imagine you're massaging her lips with yours. There's no quicker turnoff than a bad kisser. Seriously, I've heard women talk about not calling a great guy back because he was awful at kissing. And even as a guy who's kissed hundreds of women at this point, I can tell you, a girl who is a bad kisser sometimes makes it not even worth it. It can be unbearable at times. Make sure you get this down. A lot of kissing revolves around how you use your hands and teeth as well. Your hands should be roaming her body gently, caressing her back, gently holding her neck, pulling her hips into yours. One of my favorite things to do while making out with a girl is to grab her belt loops on her pants and pull her hips into mine. As for teeth, gentle love nips on the bottom lip of her tongue turns a lot of girls on. Be sure to be sensitive with your teeth, though, and don't overuse them. Finally, the first few times you kiss a girl, try to always be the first one to pull away. It shows a non-neediness and control that girls find attractive. It subcommunicates that you're a sexual guy and that you're comfortable with what's going on. Too many guys start making out with a girl and then immediately go into, okay, let's fuck mode, where they practically start molesting the girl wherever they are and devouring her face. Kissing is simply a gateway to greater and deeper intimacy. Kissing is the only sexual action that many girls are comfortable doing in public. It's an important step, but part of the process, not the destination. Escalating. So you've kissed her. Now what? Once a girl kisses you, she's usually going to be comfortable and or horny enough to go home with you or have you go home with her. This assumes a couple of things, that you kiss well and turn her on while kissing, and that she feels safe with you. Different girls have different standards for these, so you must be observant. If she seems less excited after kissing you than she did before kissing you, then you need to kiss and touch her better. If she seems nervous and uncomfortable when you try to get her to leave with you, then she needs to trust you more. It means you have to open up to her a bit more and talk about yourself and build more of an emotional connection. But also be sure you're keeping her turned on through flirting and more kissing. A lot of guys make big productions about getting a girl to come home with them, coming up with elaborate stories and props. If she wants to come home with you, she just needs the mildest of excuses to agree. I've got the coolest dog, you should come see him. Or, I'm not tired yet, you want to check out that movie I was talking about. Or, I make an awesome omelet, come over, I'll make you one. I've gotten girls to come over with statements as simple as, let's hang out at my place, or, do you want to have a drink at my place? If she's comfortable with you and attracted to you, she'll follow your lead. These concepts hold true whether you just met her that night or you're on the third date with her. The amount of time isn't as relevant as how secure she feels around you. So you've gotten her back to your place, you guys are kissing on your couch, where do you go from there? Remember when I said that your hands should gently be roaming her body while you're kissing? Well, now that you're in private, safe, and in an intimate location, it's time to roam your hands into more sexual areas. Start with her breasts. Don't grab them straight out at first, but let a hand roam onto them and massage it lightly. Then move your hand off. Hair pulling, believe it or not, turns on most women. You have to do it the right way, though. Don't grab and yank her hair. What you want to do is just take some in your hand and clench your fist so that there's a nice squeeze on her hair. This actually feels really good for her. Another great place is to grab her ass, which is my personal favorite. Again, don't do it too aggressively, unless she's so horny she wants to fuck right away. But give it a nice squeeze. If she responds well, her kissing gets more aggressive, she moans. Basically any response other than her moving your hands away from her, then keep going. If you're on a couch or bed, push her onto her back and position yourself between her legs. If you're standing up, push her against the wall and do the same. Next, you'll want clothes to start coming off. If she's letting you grab her breast comfortably, you can probably remove her shirt. If she's wearing a skirt or dress, try moving your hands up her legs under her dress. The general principle at work here is that you want to gently push things towards sex until she says stop. If she doesn't say stop, keep going. Next, take off your shirt. For whatever reason, when you take off your shirt, it subcommunicates that you expect sex to happen more than her taking off any of her clothes. This is usually where you'll get the "we're not having sex tonight" objection, if you do at all. The answer to this objection is always, always okay, and then keep going. Listen to her actions. The dirty secret about the "we're not having sex" objection is that the only time girls say it is when they're thinking about having it. They wouldn't say it if they didn't feel like it was a realistic possibility. What's actually happening is that they want to have it, but they aren't sure logically whether it's a good idea, so they're telling you that they're not going to have sex to see if it changes the situation at all. The ironic thing about the objection is that if you say okay and stop, then you're just playing into her anxiety, that it's not right and that she doesn't want to have sex with you. But if you acknowledge her objection, yet keep going, you're engaging her emotional and sensual desires to have sex while allaying any rational fears by acknowledging them. Even though they're completely contradictory, you're going to make the girl feel better because now she's able to relax and let go to enjoy the moment. After all, you're not having sex that night, right? If this makes no sense, what am I saying? Of course it doesn't make sense. It's women we're talking about, remember? Just know this, the correct answer to the no sex objection is always an affirmative while continuing to escalate physically. A quick note about rape. Remember, our general guideline here is that we continue until a woman makes us stop. This means she physically stops you, i.e. moves your hands off her, moves away from you, puts her clothes back on, etc., or clearly verbally says stop or no. There's a difference with the we're not having sex tonight objection. She's not telling you to stop, but telling you what to expect. There's a huge difference. When a girl says stop, it means stop. It's not a game. It's not a test. It's not some clever social trick. It means stop. To pursue it any further after a woman has clearly tried to get you to stop is rape, and you're fucked up individually to keep going. If a girl legitimately stops you, halt everything and ask her what the matter is. Often she'll have a legitimate concern. Other times, she'll have a trivial or irrational concern. I didn't shave my legs, or I'm on my period, or I promised myself I'd wait until the second date, etc. Whether the concern is legitimate or not, always acknowledge it and engage the seriousness of the issue. If her protest seems a bit irrational or silly, she's probably just nervous and needs to be more comfortable around you. Back up a few steps and start again. If you try again and she stops you again, back off and give it some more time. If she puts up a lot of resistance and you decide to call it quits, do not get angry about it. If you get angry, then you're really not going to get laid. She needs to know that you understand, even if you really think her complaint is irrational. You also need to make a choice. How much do you like this girl? If you don't like her and just wanted to have sex with her, you might choose to leave her or ask her to leave. If you really do care about her, then you're definitely doing the right thing. You have a brain, so use some good judgment. Escalating like this is a skill that every guy needs to become successful with women. If there was one skill in the world that you could have that would make you the most successful with women by itself, it would probably be aggressively escalating with women. It turns them on. Even when they say no, it turns them on. And in case you don't believe me, just because it's impossible for me to exaggerate how important it is to be a physical, aggressive, and sexual guy, here's a post from a single woman on Craigslist. Guys who have trouble with women never seem to be able to get it through their heads that women want us to be aggressive, even if they turn us down. They'd rather have a guy go too far and back off than not far enough. Just see below. This is a post taken from Craigslist. It's written by a woman. Dear men of Craigslist, look, I know you men have it difficult. Women are just about impossible to understand, much less please. In a post-feminist society, you never know exactly what you should be doing. Women are bloody picky. I know we are. It can be scary, too, when women freak out about what appear to be benign issues, and men who do their best to be respectful, female-positive humans. I salute you. I do. But please, please, please just fuck me already. Honestly, I appreciate your thoughtfulness. I like that you want to take things slow. I can totally get behind the idea of emotional connection, but dear Jesus in heaven, fuck me. We've done dinner and drinks. We've done dancing. We've cuddled and watched a movie. I'm wearing a low-cut shirt, and you've been staring at my tits all night. Good God Almighty, get to it and fuck me. We get hot and heavy. Please take charge. Please, please fuck me. Trust me, I'm not going to lie still. I'll get involved, but don't make me force your hand into my panties. That makes me feel like a rapist. We've been kissing for a half hour, and your hand keeps grazing my ass. That's nice, but it's time to move forward. Get on top of me. Don't make me get on top right out of the gate and start bobbing up and down on your cock like I'm practicing some crazy new aerobic yoga because you won't go for it. Roll on top and start dry humping like a good boy. Don't gently suck my nipples and then pull back and moan with pleasure. You being coy is totally not what I want. It's not what we want. Okay, I know it's scary. There are lots of women out there who make fucking really difficult. So I've compiled some handy tips. Don't think of this as complaining or schadenfreude for Andrea Dworkin's of the world. Just some simple tips for timid men who have forgotten what it means to fuck like men. 1. Taking charge is not bad. Oh, there will be some women who feel that you are pushy. If you're making out with a woman and she starts to push back, ask nicely if things are moving too fast. If she says yes, say something like, I'm sorry, you just look so fucking good, I'll go slower. Otherwise, skillfully move forward. If you start kissing a woman and she responds well, and before long you're both on the floor with her skirt pushed up, and you're on top of her, it's not time to roll onto your back and start awkwardly stroking the top of your head. Seriously, grow a goddamn pair. You're the man. Act like one. 2. Oh my fucking god, please learn to respect the clit. It's different for every woman, so just ask what she likes. Do not, I repeat, do not just wiggle your fingers around her pussy like you're trying to tickle her. Do not drum your fingertips against her vulva like you are impatiently waiting for the Sears Tire Center for your receipt. Do not push the clit like it's a doorbell at some house that you need to get inside of. Start by using all four fingers with firm yet gentle pressure against the outside of her pussy. Do not charge in with a single finger and start jabbing at things. And if you really don't know what to do, just ask. Ask her, how do you like it? It's a simple question, and most women will answer straight out. If she's being all coy, ask, do you like pressure? Is it sensitive? The clitoris is a varied item indeed. Treat each one as though you have never encountered one before. Forget everything that your last partner liked. Most women like to be fucked, and fucked well. Yes, there are women out there who want to make love every time. Sweet, gentle, rocking love with lots of eye contact and loving kisses. Those women are not the majority. The majority like to be pounded. The majority like to have their hair pulled. The majority are good, like a good, solid jackhammering. When a woman is bucking wild against you, it's not because she wants you to pull back and slowly swirl your cock around her vagina like you're mixing a cake batter. It's because she wants you to hold her arms down, grab her hips, push her legs above her head, and fuck her harder. Don't be too afraid of what this means as far as gender equality goes. I'm a raging feminist bitch, but I still want to be penetrated like you were planning on fucking my throat from the inside out. 4. A little roughness is nice. Do not pretend that you had no idea that some women like their hair pulled. Do not act shocked if she wants you to spank her. Really? Spanking? Won't it hurt? Yes, it does. That's the fucking point. We know that you've read Stuff and Maxim and all those lady mags that talk about how to please her sections. Start with light, full-handed smacks to the area of her ass that she sits on. Judge her response and continue on from there. You don't have to bend her over one knee and tell her that she's a naughty girl and that daddy's going to punish her. Save that for the fifth date. Women are less delicate than you think, so don't worry about breaking her hip. 5. It's okay for you to make noise. Otherwise, we feel like we're fucking a ninja. Unless you are actually a ninja and have sneaked into our rooms with vibrating nunchaku and zipper black pajamas, please, please make some noise. If you're banging a woman and she's crying out and saying your name and moaning and you can't even manage a grunt, she's going to feel like an idiot. You don't have to make the sound she is making, but do something. You know how when you are watching porn and the girl does something great to the guy and the guy is like, oh, half grunt, half yell? That's hot. Do that. Whisper our name, assuming you know it, gruffly. Groan against her neck when you're in a missionary position. You don't have to grunt like a mountain gorilla, but if you're totally mute, she's going to start getting worried. 6. Most women like dirty talk, in addition to the grunting. If you'd like to get some dirty talk going, ask her if she likes the way you fuck her. If she responds well, continue with something like, I love fucking you. God, you look so fucking hot. If she's still moaning in response, tell her that her tits are beautiful. Does that work? If she doesn't respond well to the term tits, you might have to stop there. If she keeps moaning or responding, pass go and collect $200. Try the following. Oh God, your pussy's so tight. Or, you're so wet. Are you wet because you like feeling my cock ramming you? I think I'm going to come inside you. I'm going to fill up your little cunt. It doesn't matter that you're wearing a condom. We love hearing this shit. If all of those work, then you can progress to things like sexy little bitch and dirty whore. Tread carefully, but please tread. Do not tiptoe. Do not sit down. Charge. 6. You're obligated to eat a woman out. In return, she's not obligated to choke on your dick. Don't skip one and expect the other. If you do eat a woman out, the only comment you should make about her pussy is how nice it is. The length of her labia minora, the color of her interior, her waxing job, or full bush. You are not John Madden. No time for color commentary. 7. Do not bitch about condoms. Oh, we hate them. Trust us. They hurt us more than they hurt you. But we don't want to be preggers, and you don't want to catch anything, right? Don't whine about condom sex. Do not explain that you can't come with one on. Learn to come with one on. Or if not, help us figure out what to do with you once we're satisfied and it's time to let you let loose your load. 8. We really like it when you come. It's called a money shot for a reason. Watching semen shoot out of you is one of the most gratifying things ever. However, do not assume that she wants you to jack it off onto her face. She might, but don't assume. Seeing and or feeling you come is rewarding for us, so there's no need to deprive us of it. But please do consult us before unleashing. I think I'm going to come. How do you like it? Is a fair question that should not rob you of your testicles. In recent memory, I've been fucked by a very aggressive, manly guy, and I've been, well, fucked is not the